Hello, listeners. I would like to introduce you to Mr. Bobby Adcock. I met Bobby several years ago in Louisville, Kentucky. Bobby works for a company called ProLift. They perform service work on all our fork trucks and walkie stackies at Lubrizol of Louisville. That equipment is crucial to what we do on a daily basis, both in production and in packaging. They also do work for many other manufacturers and businesses in the Louisville area. That machinery, anywhere I've ever been, gets a lot of use and takes a lot of abuse and needs continual maintenance. Bobby and the team at ProLift do great, timely work and are one of the main components that keep many businesses running on a daily basis. Without them, many businesses simply could not function. Bobby, I want to thank you for the work you do for my employer. I certainly would not have a job if it wasn't for what you do on a daily basis, and I'm grateful. In addition to the great service that you provide on a daily basis, there's an even bigger reason we've asked you to be on the podcast today. That reason, my friend, is your unbelievable attitude. This man, folks, I believe is the friendliest person I've ever met in my entire life. This man has had a smile on his face, been upbeat, and had an unbelievably fantastic attitude every time I've ever seen him. What makes this so remarkable is that this has not just been on a few random encounters. I've seen him month after month, year after year, for about 5 years now, and it's never changed. Bobby, I couldn't wait to have this conversation. I want to dig right in for time's sake. I'm eager, along with our audience, I'm sure, to hear where this positive attitude of yours comes from. Start off telling us a little bit about yourself.
Well, I'm just a simple guy. Just normal day, go to work, get it done, go home, and try to be just a loving individual and a compassionate individual.
Well, that definitely comes out, my friend, every day in what you're doing. No kidding. And people notice. I told Bobby, I thought of that scripture in the Bible where the Lord says, always be ready to give an answer to every man for the hope that lieth in you, you know, and told him, I said, you know, even as Christians, if we walk around all the time with our lip dragging the ground, I don't think anybody's really going to be asking us about the hope that lies within us. But his type of attitude, people definitely ask questions because people come to work in all kinds of different moods, many times based on our emotions, you know, what's going on that particular day. And we let that rule over our attitude too much. And I thought our listeners would benefit, as I know I will, by hearing how you maintain a consistent attitude like that every day. I know mine can use some work from time to time, and I'm looking forward to hearing what you had to say. But is there anything about your past in particular, Bobby, that helped mold that kind of attitude in you? I mean, something in particular?
Yeah, probably the largest thing was hitting rock bottom, going through bad times in my life, going through divorce, was on the bad end of drugs.
Okay.
Had drug use, dealing, methamphetamine.
Okay.
Just doing anything bad with that. Ended up being my own personal fault for my life getting to the bottom. Didn't know it, that I was doing it, until I got down there and was able to look up and see who was at fault, which was me. But yeah, hitting rock bottom was probably the number one thing. Probably shares that with going to jail and being in jail at the same time.
Okay.
That also plays a very large role in being down there at the bottom and needing to do a change.
Okay.
Evaluating my life was the biggest thing.
That makes sense, man. You were telling me at work when we were having this conversation, I was complimenting you about your attitude then, Danny Corbin, who's also had a lot to say about the way you come to work, Mike Hartley, another fellow I work with. But you told me about a day that you had in jail where you were thinking about something one day. You said, I want you to just elaborate on that, something you were thinking.
Yes. Actually, what had happened was, the thinking part. Yeah, that was, I was probably on my fourth day in jail, just trying to figure out who I was. You know, I knew why I was there. Just lost, just absolutely lost. And I remember looking at the floor, telling myself, man, I wish I was at work having a bad day. And
you said that just that tickled me when you said that, man. I wish I was having a bad day at work. I thought, you know, a day at work would be one thing, but he's wishing he had a bad day.
That's how bad day my was right then and there. Was a bad day at work would have been much better than sitting there in jail looking at the floor, not knowing what you were going to be tomorrow. And then, of course, I finally got out of jail. I shouldn't say that. It wasn't for but 5 or 6 days. And then getting out of jail, I made a decision to start correcting myself, and that was a slow path. And I did get back to work and went to work and had some bad days. And then
Imagine that.
But then in those bad days, I told myself, wait a minute, Bobby. You were in jail so many days, so many months ago, and you were telling yourself you wish you was right here right now having a bad day at work. Well, this is where you're at. Do you really want to proceed with bad days? No, I do not. So I evaluated myself at that point, and it was time to have good days. And that was part of making the decision that I'm not going to have any more bad days.
That's awesome, man. That's awesome. Yeah, when you said that, I was like, all right, that wraps it up. This guy's got to be on the podcast, man. He's going to help some people. And I know just hearing you say that already has helped me, and it's going to help some other people. But how do you cultivate an attitude like that, man? I mean, what do you, you know, I guess starting at the run of a day, what do you think about when you wake up in the morning? I mean, what's going through your mind, you know, when you wake up? Because, folks, I'm telling you, this guy's been around for 5 years where I work, and probably most every month I've seen him over that 5 years, and I've never seen him in a bad mood. And I'm not trying to set him up to be superhuman and Bobby where everybody think you don't make mistakes, and I'm not trying to put you on a pedestal like that, but I'm telling you, my friend, you've got some things going for you in the attitude department that most of us don't have. So, yeah, tell me about that. What are you thinking about when you wake up in the morning?
When I wake up, the first thing I do, not the very first thing, but I'm very thankful for, first off, waking up that morning, because a lot of people don't. So I'm thankful and I'm a blessed man right then and there. Some of the first things that I'm always thankful for is my family. They're healthy. I'm healthy. My family's healthy. My daughter's healthy. My mom and dad's still alive. They're healthy. I'm blessed as far as that goes. And on the way to work, and I have relaxed a little bit in this here lately, but I picked it back up again as well. I always thank the good Lord for another day. I thank the Lord for another day. Try to do that every day. Some days, those days where maybe that mood that nobody else sees may not have been as appropriate in my own mind as it should have been. I might miss that on certain days. But I always thank the good Lord, and I just try to simplify my life. Also to the things that happen on a daily basis that what's deter your attitudes, I expect them. I don't ever get shocked whenever they happen.
So
I know
you're
they're
saying
coming.
When things come along that you don't expect, you just expect that you're going to have the unexpected, right?
I expect the
right.
Unexpected.
Okay.
Because it's not unexpected.
You're right.
It's coming.
Oh, yeah.
It is coming. Every day, day in and day out, your car is going to break down. Your washer and dryer is going to go bad. You saved $1,000 in your bank account.
You
car breaks down.
Yeah.
It's always something. And that is always going to keep you in a bad mood. It's going to happen. Don't get yourself set up for the sadness of it.
Okay? So what do you do mentally to prepare yourself for that? I mean, what are you thinking?
As it comes, I just take it in. You know, I ain't gonna lie. I might mumble under my breath. You know, a little bit of dissatisfaction. But then I just laugh at it. I just laugh at it, and I say, you know what? I knew it was coming. It's just in this form today. Tomorrow's a new day. I'll get through it today. If I don't get through it today, it'll be there tomorrow. I'll deal with it again tomorrow until I get it taken care of.
I told you before, and I don't want to, this isn't about me, it's about you, but that's one of the things that derails me more than anything else is unexpected stuff.
Yeah.
And I guess I wake up thinking I'm not going to have that, and I don't know what it is, I don't know what I do, but yeah, I'm gonna take that advice, brother, so I appreciate you sharing that. Let's see here, some of these you're going to answer, like I said, as we're going through. So when you know you've got a difficult task coming up, some piece of equipment or work that you're going to work on. I don't know. I, I'm, just something, oh my gosh, this is going to be a beast. I've had to deal with this before. I know what this is going to be. And you got that in your mind and you're processing that. You're thinking, this I've got this thing to do, this inevitable thing that's coming up today or tomorrow or whatever. How do you frame that in your mind?
If I have, and I do have those particular jobs, just like you just said it, my dreaded, I have to do that one. If I have the luxury of giving myself a couple of days, I just pep talk myself through it. You know, it's just a forklift. A human being made it, manufactured it. Surely I can fix it. And, you know, just another human being just doing what you do. And kind of talk myself into not look at it in a negative manner, but just getting it done. Just getting it done and then looking at the positive side of getting it past me. Of getting it done.
So you're seeing yourself already through it. You're picturing in your mind, I'm able to take care of that because another human being made it. I can work on it. And you're already seeing yourself accomplishing it.
Some way, shape, or form. Yep. And it's also the confidence that I've been doing turning wrenches long enough and doing what I've done. I've just got the confidence of I will get it done somehow, somewhere. Maybe not in the manner, the time frame that everybody thinks I should, but I will get it done.
Okay.
And just a confident, positive side of getting started to get it done.
Oh, that's awesome. What do you listen to or watch in the run of a day? Anything you like keeping pumping through your mind? I mean, are you watching a lot of news? Are you listening to the radio? Are you listening to music? I mean, what?
I don't watch news. It's pretty negative. I listen to music. Music feeds my soul, and when I say music, it's country music.
Okay.
I love uplifting songs and most all your music. I won't say country music because that's what I listen to. I relate to it because you know you have your music. It's going to sing about your bad times. It's going to sing about your good times. It's going to sing about broken love. It's going to sing about new love. But I just relate to it. I've been through it all. And it's real. It sings and tells a story about real life. And I just enjoy that.
Okay.
Just enjoy it and just relate to it.
I got you. Okay. Anybody in particular, I mean, any group that you spend time with on a regular basis? I know you go to church. You just came from there today.
Yeah, the church I go to is a little Methodist church there in Old Weldon in Brandenburg, Kentucky. And it is probably 75% family.
Okay.
So every time I go to church, it's like a family reunion. So it helps, and everybody there is very uplifting. And it kind of finds me peace to get my work week started. But most of all, my dad is probably one of the biggest influences. My grandfather was a preacher, and my dad was raised a preacher's son, but my dad... is not really a heavy Christian man, but as far as morals and ethics, to the T, walks a straight line, and he set the guideline very well. Then I got some real good friends, Kelly Augebright, wonderful individual, keeps me in line, and I have a small group of people. I pick those good people that I know are good for me, and that's who I stay around. I have this ability to just remove myself from the bad. Don't go there. I know where they're at. I just stay away from that area. And then I have my own little circle that I keep pretty small.
Makes me think of, again, sometimes thinking of scripture, you know, just different things the Bible teaches about that. But I know the Bible says evil communications corrupt good manners, you know, and they do.
It does.
And that word communication in the Bible is more than just what we're doing right now. It's more than talking. It's your manner of living. It's what you do. It's what you say. It's where you go. And those, man, you don't realize sometimes that old saying, if you run with the hounds, you're going to get fleas.
Yep.
It's the truth, man.
If you hang around a bad person, whatever that bad person's habit is, you will eventually end up with that habit.
I believe that, man. I believe that. It definitely rubs off on you in ways you don't even think. I used to go to my uncle's house in Tennessee during the summer, stay just a couple weeks during summer break, and by the time my dad got back to pick me up, I'd be talking like somebody from Tennessee, just from being around him no longer than that, you know, just crazy how that was. So you were talking about your dad. I was going to ask you, what person's had the greatest impact in your life? You think, who do you think that'd be?
That would be, I'd have to put both Kelly and my father on the exact same level there.
And Kelly's your friend?
Yeah, Kelly's my friend, a very, very close friend, and kind of, he big brothered me. I was the oldest of my three siblings, and so I never had a big brother, so he kind of was my big brother.
Gotcha, man. Yeah. Gotcha. Well, I figured when we dug into who you were hanging around with, you were pretty choosy about who you hung around with, because again, people you're hanging around with not only contaminate, they contaminate your attitude too, which is what we're talking about today. So you're selective about who you hang around with, and that's, that helps keep your attitude intact. Am I saying, am I out of line saying that?
Yes, you're correct.
Okay. Bobby, something we always ask on here, and this isn't a fun question, but just so everybody understands, none of us are superhuman. Take us to a dark day in your life. I mean, a time where it seemed like the bottom fell out of everything, and tell us how you got through that.
The bottom fell out. There was a point in time where I was ready to end it all, and I was going to commit suicide. I was poor, pitiful in me. And when you do drugs, the drug that I was on was a high drug, a speed. So when you come off of that, after you sped for a couple of days, you don't just drop, you sink very low. And on top of losing everything that I had, my divorce, I looked at it as my wife taking my daughter away from me, but that's not the way that it was. It was the poor, pitiful side of me looking at, you know, what I wasn't getting. But just was ready for it to end. Just did not want it no more. I picked out a gun, a pistol, purchased it, took it home. And in that whole process of me going and purchasing that pistol just to end my life was so exhausting that I slept for 2 days when I got home.
Just thinking about it and talking about
just
it?
Just the whole ordeal of it, doing it, getting the energy to do it, it just exhausted me. On top of exhausting my body with those drugs that I coursed through my veins. And then when I woke up from that sleep, I had spoke with a friend of mine, and I gave a little hint that I had went and purchased a pistol, and they came and came there when I woke up. They were there with a group of people to make sure that I didn't harm myself. So that was a blessing.
That was a good friend.
Absolutely. Yeah. And Kelly was there. My father was there. And another set of handful of good people, Christian people. Preacher was there. He was praying for me. At that point in my life, I was claiming atheism. Was not a Christian man at all through those dark days. And I'd mentioned it to you the other day at work, you know, how seeing the bad things that happen in this world, and we all do it, the human brain says, how can there be a God? How can the good Lord let children die? How can there be disease? How can there be bad things in this whole world? And that's the negative aspect of looking at life. Those things are going to happen. There again, you know, it's going to happen. You can either be on the negative side of looking at it or the positive side. And I was definitely on the negative end at my life, and that was a part of bottom of the barrel. I did not find Christianity then neither. It took a couple more years for me to get that.
Okay. Was that kind of the start of you thinking that direction, or do you remember? I don't know.
Nothing good came in the next couple years.
Really?
Yes.
Okay.
Because of my attitude. I don't want to say blame it on my atheism, but that was my way of thinking. So I wasn't trying to make myself better. I was just still poor, pitiful, and me myself. So going to jail, I'm going to kind of just throw it out there like it was. So going to jail, and in that time frame, I was in the jail cell for about the 4 days, and I, at that, looking back and saying that when I was looking at the floor, which when I was at work having a bad day, they came, and you get an hour to go outside and smoke, or you can go to church, or you can go to the library. Well, I was an atheist. I wasn't going to church. You know, heaven forbid, I stomped my foot. That wasn't happening. I didn't smoke cigarettes, so that wasn't happening either. So the library it was. So I went to the library, and no intentions on checking out a book, but that's what the library's for. So I went there, and it was to get out of the jail cell. Went there just looking through, you know, what do I want to get, rah, 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 just looking. No intention on getting nothing. Looked at some hunting magazines, and then come to a shelf that had this book that said, The Man in the Mirror, The 24 Problems Men Face Today by Pat Morley. And I look at it, and I say, well, somebody has the answer to everything. You know, pretty negatively I said that to myself, thinking, it's interesting, but I don't believe it for a minute. So I checked the book out. We finished out my time. I grabbed a couple other books and just something to grab, and went back to the jail cell, sat down, went to that book first, opened it up. Chapter one, the first sentence, why do you exist? Should be a pretty easy answer. Didn't have an answer, and I started crying. Could not answer. And tears fell onto the book. And I was, at that point in time, that was an epiphany. Why could not I answer that? That's a pretty simple question. That's how lost I was. Mm-hmm. I thought, and I cried, and I thought, and I cried. And it took me a little bit to answer that question. And that question that I answered was for my daughter. Because that was the one thing that I was neglecting very horribly. And I was not being a father at all. So once I answered that, that satisfied that. Now, that satisfied it for a second. I had to keep reading at that point. Well, Pat Morley in this book, he's a very Christian man. But with me being an atheist, that was already a book that I was already telling myself I didn't want to read. But it seemed like when he, not seemed like, but he did in his answers to his questions to open up each chapter, he told me why I was thinking the way that I was thinking with every chapter that happened in that book. One of the other ones was battling with the Joneses. Why I thought that, and why I got out of high school, and why I chased that almighty dollar. Then he told it in a manner that was unchristian. I shouldn't say unchristian, but not in a Christian manner, so that it related to everybody, as I guess the general population as a whole, which at that point in time I was an atheist, so it related to me. So I listened. And then when he gave the Christian aspect of it, and why the good Lord allowed it not to happen, or had a different goal in mind for you, I skimmed through that and a lot of times didn't read it. But then I'd go on to the next chapter. Well, as he started earning my trust in how he had all this figured out, and how in the world could the Lord have a role in this, and I started getting curious, and I just kept reading the book, and he had it figured out. He truly did. Made me question, excuse me, my atheism. Allowed me to be open to the possibility of. And then I self-evaluate very heavily on my own. I'm my own worst critic, which is a blessing. And then adding that book and probably the Lord working on me, along with probably leading me to that book, which I did not know that yet. And then some years... It took a year or two after that to decide to go to church and get back to my roots.
That's awesome.
Yes.
Man, that's a great story. Thanks for sharing that.
You're very welcome.
What's a great piece of advice you've received along the way?
If I can really narrow it down to just one thing.
Okay. Well, if you got a couple, I mean, I
hate to say it, but I kind of draw a blank on that.
Okay.
You know, the book was very valuable. My dad's always had good moral advice, you know, treat people like you want to be treated. I mean, that's just a very good one for day to day.
Absolutely.
But I wish there was just one thing, and there's just handfuls of things that I was attentive to.
Sure.
Over the time of correcting myself, not in the dark days, but in the light days, that I'd listen to and take into play. But I don't have a good answer for one good answer for that one.
Not a problem at all. What's something you're looking forward to as you look at over the horizon?
I'm a very simple guy. I don't have goals that are high on a pedestal, so that way they're not unachievable. My biggest goal is to just maintain my happiness. Don't live above my means. Live life and just enjoy life is the biggest thing. It's just truly enjoy life. Enjoy it as it comes. Be happy with it. And to just love fellow man, really. I did learn how to love, really love myself. I had to learn how to love myself again. But with that being said, I learned loving fellow man and compassion. And not just, my goal is to maintain that, because this terrible old world will bash that down. My goal is to not let that happen. Simple. I get up in the mornings, I don't want it to be complicated. If you let your life, if you start looking at it and you start letting the complications overwhelm you, your simplicity is going to go away and you will lose sight on who you are. It will make your days harder. So I keep it simple. I know who I am now, and I just want to maintain that. I don't want that to be knocked down. So my goal is to maintain that.
How do you keep it simple, man? You know, when life tries to get more complex.
If I can't control it, let it go. If it's something that I can't control, let it go. If I can control it and I can fix it, I will do that. Mentally, physically, with my hands, you know, washer breaks, fix it. Move on. Forget about it. If it's out of my control, absolutely out of my control. You know, the economy of this world, that is out of my control. There's nothing I can do about it. I got to let the powers that be take care of that. I got to move on. I handle the things that are in front of me. If it's in my control, I'll take care of it. If it's not, roll off my shoulders.
Any advice you'd give to somebody that's struggling with a bad attitude?
Yes. A lot of customers that I go to, I see a whole lot of folks that are very, very mad. You know, and you don't know what's going on with their personal life. But first off, you need to have compassion for them. If they treat you bad and treat you with anger, do not retaliate. Just what was the question again? I got off.
No, that's okay. You were talking about any bad attitudes that you're encountering at work. What's some advice that you give to somebody with a bad attitude?
Think of the positive. Think of the positive.
Is it really that easy? Just think about the good side and not the bad? I mean,
it is for me now. I have trained myself. I have come to terms, and my rationality is it's easy for me. In talking to those individuals, it teaches me that it's not easy for everybody.
Was it always easy for you, Bobby?
No.
Okay.
No, sir.
So it's easy now because you've trained yourself, right?
Trained myself and hit rock bottom. I try not to let myself forget what rock bottom was, and don't ever want to go there again. So hitting rock bottom, there's no other place but up after that. So it is easier for me. Talking to other folks and trying to get them to understand that. As a matter of fact, there was a young girl that she was working, and I've very rarely seen her smile. And one of her other coworkers, you know, brought me over and wanted me to tell a little bit to her why I was happy. And I told my story. She loved it. She absolutely loved it. She couldn't see herself understanding it enough to put it into play. And I don't understand that now. I understand it, but I don't fully understand it because it is a choice. And I still see her every other day, and she still does not smile. She still focuses on that negative, and I don't know what's going on in her life, but she doesn't grasp like I do right now, and I have to understand that not everybody can do that.
You know, that brings up a great point. Now, I wonder, I'd hate to know in my own life how much advice you receive in a lifetime that you never act on. You know what I'm saying?
Very true.
And I think I just did stimulate another thought, just thinking of another verse, but I'm leaving now. The Lord said, like, faith without works is dead. You know, you can say you got faith all day long, but till you put your feet on your prayers and put your feet on your faith and go out and act on what you say you believe,
mm-hmm.
it's really dead. It doesn't accomplish anything. Well, you can say you want to have a positive attitude, and hearing your story is great, and I can do the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
I can lay down this podcast, and those that are listening say, yeah, that was a fantastic podcast. He's a great guy. And never change. Mm-hmm. Never adopt the things that they heard, you know. And,
yes.
And that's something I've been pondering a lot, not just with this, but with a lot of things in my life. I thought about, you know, I've been listening to podcasts for the last 2 or 3 years now. Mike and I have been listening to them. I can't speak for Mike. I can speak for me in this area. Like, man, I've heard some really good advice over the last 2 or 3 years. How much of that have I put into practice? Not a lot. And so, yeah, that's a whole, you're right. I mean, without that, without putting it into practice, it's just another good lesson, right?
Mm-hmm.
It's another good story.
Mm-hmm.
It's another, wow, he's a great guy. But I didn't benefit anything from it because I didn't put it into use in my
true.
Whole life.
Very
know?
True. And so, us no, humans no, don't like change. Great.
You're right, man. We kind of, who was it I heard said recently, we've all got a home that we go back to. And sometimes it's changing our home. You know, Tony Robbins talks about that. You've got a place that you've lived most of your life that you're comfortable mentally, emotionally,
mm-hmm.
and we all tend to return to that place. We might venture outside there, but we tend to come back to home. So sometimes we had to change where home is, you know.
Yes.
And, man, that's great advice. And Mike, I'm sure as we've been talking, you probably thought of something along the way, and I sure just want to give you opportunity, brother, to talk about something.
After hearing everything you said, Bobby, it sounds like you've had some people that have influenced your life. Your dad, mm-hmm. a friend, you know, some people along the way that have played a big role, maybe indirectly, directly. You ever thought about what an impact you're having on other people, maybe coworkers, neighbors, maybe, you know, people you go to church with?
That's a good question.
Have you ever thought about the responsibility you have to impact those people? Because you're, like, you know, Travis, you've definitely impacted him. That's why we're doing the podcast today.
Mm-hmm.
You know, just watching your life the last few years and thinking, man, you know, we really got to get this, you know, on our podcast. So in that respect, do you ever think about the responsibility you have? And not that it's a job where you clock in like, yeah, I got to go, you know, cheer up so-and-so. But what about, do you ever think about the impact you're having on others? And that's the first part of the question. Go ahead and answer that. I got one more part.
Okay. Yes, as a matter of fact, I have seen testimony of some individuals changing. I have seen it. I have seen a couple that... they would come in and thank me for the good attitude, and they were actually changing their bad attitudes or their negativity towards the way they judge things. They were actually trying and putting it into play. They really were. And they but I look at it like this: I'm planting a seed. I'm planting a seed. It's up to them if the seed grows.
Right.
So
that's awesome.
Yeah.
Sometimes it takes a little water on that seed before it germinates, doesn't it?
It does. And them seeing consistency,
yeah.
That's the footwork that you mentioned a while ago, that if you don't put the footwork into play, then, you know, you can hear the good advice all day long. If they see me consistently and I am consistent in a happy manner, that's the footwork. So the seed is getting watered. And hopefully it keeps growing. And yeah. I've seen a couple people that it's grown in.
That's awesome.
And it's very satisfying. It's very satisfying.
Big time. And I guess the second part, you hear people talking about they have an accountability partner, like you maybe touch base once or twice a week. Hey, you know, how you doing this week? How was your day? How was your last weekend? You know, you kind of touch base with your friend or they touch base with you, blah, blah, blah. Have you ever thought about kind of mentoring know, a neighbor, maybe one of the kids at church, that, or maybe they get picked up on the bus, their family doesn't come, but they're the neighborhood kids that, you know, they get picked up on the church bus or family brings them. You ever thought about that? Maybe you don't, that's fine, but I'm just thinking, you ever try to reach out to that one individual neighbor, kid at the church, whoever, family member?
I haven't. Yes, I have some individuals, some adult friends having bad days and really, really struggled with finding positive things in the world. And I've spent many phone hours on the phone or visiting them, trying to lead them in the right direction and give them positive roles. And it's crossed my mind before to be Big Brother. There's a Big Brother program. I scare myself with that. I hate to say that, but I feel like I might fail. So there you go. There's what we talked about a minute ago. Afraid to put the footwork into play. I'm afraid of failing before I've even tried. Thinking that, again, I could fail somebody that is so impressionable, it puts the fear of me in trying. It truly does. Truly does. Now, with my adult friends, it's a little different, you know. I can look at him and go, you know, come on, suck it up. Be a man. Let's get through this. You can't do that with a child. And I don't have that uncompassion to do it with a child, but they rely so much in order to get to that adulthood. I feel like I might fail, and it keeps me from going there. Maybe something like this is going to help me lead there.
Maybe that's a seed.
Maybe this is a seed. Maybe this is a seed from you guys to me.
Yeah, that's right, brother. I tell you what, you've helped me over the last 5 years, and I think you'd help some other people. You know, Bobby, sometimes we all three believe the Lord created us. We don't have any problem with that. We're not atheists at this point. You're past that in your life. I'm not. I'm sure I would have fit that category at one point in my life, no doubt. I really didn't know what to believe. I don't know that I was an atheist. I just didn't know if there was a God, there wasn't a God. I wasn't really convinced in either way. But having said that, now we know where we stand spiritually now. All of us have strengths, or I really believe that. And you don't have to venture out very far to figure that out. I mean, you know, in a workplace, in a church, in an organization, where you work every day, you see people's strengths. And you also see that people are weak in areas. You know, mm-hmm. There's some areas where people are totally getting it right and you admire them, and then there's ways that they're blowing it and you're thinking, how can they do that, you know? And sometimes when it's you, you don't see your strengths like everybody else does, you know?
That's very true.
And I'm telling you, that is very evident in your life, and you can help people. You need to know that. I mean, seriously, I've got plenty of work I need to do. I don't need to volunteer you to go help the whole world, but you can help some kids, brother. You can help some adults, too, and you are helping them. You're helping them right now. Yes. But you've got a gift. God's given you a gift there, and your attitude can be a help to other people. It's going to on this broadcast. There'll be people that will hear that. That's just a small thing. We don't know who our audience is, but God does. Mm-hmm. And just like He directed you toward that book, I know He directs things. I've seen that time and time again. He'll direct people to this podcast. He'll direct people to run into you in the work in the run of a day. And I want to pray before you leave, and I hope I can remember to make it a matter of prayer. Just that God will let you run into the right people in the run of a day. And I'm sure that's some of your prayer, you know, on a daily basis. God, help me run into the right people, people that need to hear, mm-hmm. people that want to hear, people that I can plant a seed with. Maybe I can throw some water on some seed that's already been planted. God, just send me in that. Because you can help people, Bobby. You can, man. You've been a help to us. And I don't want to tell you what, folks. He's a great fellow. And if you would like to correspond with him, I'd have you contact us for now, and then maybe we can get in contact with Bobby.
Sure.
And if there ever in the future, if that's something you want to change, we'll do that.
Sounds good.
But he drove an hour and a half from Brandenburg today, just to give you all a little backstory there. Was going to have him meet us at a restaurant, found out our church was serving a meal. And he came out to the dining hall and ate with us. But on the way, it was already a long drive. His GPS went out because our church is rural, and lost cell phone signal and ended up going on a wild goose chase. So it took him an hour and a half to get to church. And did all that with a smile. Was happy to come in and eat like a bird. I was hoping he'd come in and chow down. He ate just a handful of stuff and came over here and has been real gracious to spend his time doing what he's doing today and to do it for those of you that are listening. So I know, Bobby, I'm grateful, and I know there'll be some grateful people hearing this. Mike is too. And I want to thank you for your time, my friend.
You're very welcome, and thank you for asking me. I totally enjoyed it.
Well, not a problem at all. Mike, you got anything else?
No, Bobby, I just appreciate the fact you got to meet today, and Travis had a lot of great things to say about you, and I agree with Travis. You can have a great impact, and you are. Maybe a lot more impact, you know, you can reaching out to more people at work, community, church. I don't know, you know, what God's got in store for you, but I just think, like Travis said, your attitude is such that, you know, God wants to use us, you know, and that's your strength. You know, we all, like Travis said, we have different talents, and some can play the piano, some can sing, some can have a great attitude. So I just appreciate your attitude, and I'm just looking to hopefully hear some good reports in the future.
Thank you.
Thank you, Bob.
Very welcome.
Take care.